Good morning, Carlisle. Let's get this thing going. Carlisle Campus, it's so good to be here with you guys. I hope, who's ready to receive from God this morning? Who's ready for something to happen? Yeah. Redverse, we are pumped that you are tuning in. I am believing for big things for Redverse this morning, that God is going to move and that you guys are going to experience great fellowship and just amazing things. I know God's got big plans for the Redverse campus, and so I pray that today is the start of the big plans. And if you're tuning in online, we are so blessed to have you. May God's presence fill your house. May He fill the room that you are meeting in right now. And don't be afraid to invite people in. If you are not able to be at our Carlisle or Redverse campus, please invite people to tune in at your house. And who knows, we might get an unofficial One Church campus in 4J. I mean, like, who knows? I would love for that. I'd love to get an email saying, yeah, there's like 40 of us meeting and every week. You're like, sweet! All the power to you. We're starting a new series this week called What is Love? And I think this is one of the biggest questions being asked right now, because there's so many issues around relationship and how do we relate to each other, and what is marriage and how do we define it? Does God define marriage? Does society define? Like, there's so much, and it all boils down to this idea of what is love. And so we're going to spend the next number of weeks unpacking this word. Mike keeps switching sides. I can't remember which side to cover when I cough. So many new things. It's crazy. So we're going to do this, what is love? And this morning, we're going to actually start off with the most basic. And in order to understand what love is, maybe we need to start with what love isn't. So one of the interesting things is that when it comes to the English language, we're actually really restricted in this idea of love. When we read Scripture and we read love in the Greek, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it's actually one word that other languages have multiple words trying to describe. In Greek, there's actually six languages that gets translated to love in the English language. So there's six different layers. It's not all just love. There's deep love, and there's and we're going to get into that as we go through this month. But like I said, I want to start off with what love isn't. And Greek's got six. French has got three different words. We're really kind of behind in this. And of course, what better time to start off with what love isn't than on Super Bowl Sunday? And I had plans, okay? I was like, we're going to have a Super Bowl party because the Ravens are going to be playing because they're the best team in the league. And then they got knocked out in the wild card round. Phil, don't push it. Stinking Titans walking in and beating my Ravens. Anyways, so we're not having a Super Bowl party. That's the result of that. My team's not playing. We're not having, no. But no, so the reality is that when Super Bowl rolls around, and I'm picking on Super Bowl, but it actually applies to most football. It actually probably applies to most sports. Here are some stats for you. Come Super Bowl Sunday, 2 out of 5 churches will actually change their regular Sunday morning programming to accommodate for the fact that attendance is going to drop at Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, is of the top 10 worst attended Sunday mornings, is the number one worst church attendance. And I'm pumped that you're all here, because apparently in North America, there's a few groups not as robust as they normally are. Super Bowl takes a huge hit. In fact, it's not just Super Bowl. Any church that is within driving distance of a home team, whether NFL, CFL, when the home team is home, church attendance drops. And then we make these comments like, I love football. And the reality is that when we say things like, I love football, or I love pizza, or I love fill in the blank, the question then becomes, do we really love it? Because we're using the same word to describe football and pizza and our favorite TV show as we use to describe the affection we have for our loved ones. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love God. But really, we're going to use the same word to describe both of those things, even though in reality they're wildly different subjects. But we use the same word. If we are pressed on it, it's like, well, I mean, obviously I love my spouse more than I love football. Obviously, I hope that's your case. If there's like some equality between how you feel about football, we need to talk. Like, you need to call me. We need to go for coffee because I have concerns about your relationship. Okay, that's just what I'm saying. But honestly, and what has happened is as we start using the same word to describe the same thing, the value of that word starts to fall apart. And that's really tough when you think about that, because love, Scripture tells us that love is not just an attribute of God. God is love. Like, it is his being. It is his definition. And so all of a sudden, this word that tells us who God is and how he feels about us and how he wants to pour out, we're going to use that same word to describe our affection for pizza and football. Like, that's not good. Proverbs.
What is love?
Elmer, you want to go down to the PowerPoint? Keep going. There we go. I'll take it from here. Thanks. There we go. So, on that note, come March, we're going to start having some workshops. And the first one's going to be tech. No, in all honesty, come March, we actually want to start offering maybe once a month, every 2 weeks. We want to start doing workshops for things that we as a church just do. And so, not that we can help, partially help us do it better, but also to help us be more comfortable with it. Like, it's really intimidating to walk into that tech room and be like, I need to figure out how this all works. So, just so you know, and we won't do it while Mexico is away, because that takes a bunch of people away. So, starting March, we start having these workshops, and we just want to enable you guys to serve and give you the gifts and the talents and everything you need to do it well. And so, be ready for that. Watch for the announcements. Okay, here we go. With all that being said, give Elmer some grace. I threw a new program at him, and I don't even know how it works. So, here we go. Proverbs. The one who has knowledge restrains his words, and one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. Solomon's telling his son, it is wisdom to keep your mouth shut, basically. But also wisdom to just know when to use what words. I think, because I've heard this, we've quoted this to lots of people, being like, you talk too much, and your talking is getting you into trouble. But I don't think Solomon's just saying that. Solomon's actually saying, not just talk less, but to use your words wisely. To actually use certain words less, and use a more variety of words. Because when we overuse a word, it starts to lose its significance. And love is one of those words. It has just become so overused. It has been so over the top for everything, that when we actually need it to mean something, it has no validity. It has no bearing, because it's just like, oh, I just heard you talking about football, and now you're going to talk to me that same way. Well, James says that we are to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Jesus said that when we will be, every man will be judged based on his careless words. Careless words. And whenever we read this, we automatically think, well, dirty jokes or swearing or gossiping or, you know, the obviously bad ways to use our words. But what if it's just carelessly using a word too much? What if it's taking something like love and just making it so watered down, so everyday common? What if that's being careless with our words? Because God does not God says when you take something that is holy, something that is set apart, something that is God has put intrinsic value and you treat it as common, the Old Testament is full of instances where that is considered a sin. To take something special, to take something set apart and treat it as common. And I just honestly believe that that is what has happened through love in our society. Love has just become this catchword. It describes everything. If I have any kind of positive emotion towards it, it has just become... when we overuse a word, it starts to affect our priorities. Right? All of a sudden, something in us starts to equate love with the way we feel about people. I love football. So guess what? There's people who are putting football as a higher priority than their families. Putting football as a higher priority than their jobs. When we start using these words that have power and meaning and significance, especially in the eyes of God, it starts to affect things that we don't even realize it's affecting. And the first one is, it starts to affect our priorities. And the second one, and I've already said this, it cheapens it. When we use love to describe everything that we might have any kind of affection for, it has cheapened it to the point where it doesn't even have the weight that it's supposed to have. And to back this up, I actually have a really interesting story. And before I start, I'm not going to use any names. I'm not going to use any, identifying markers. Because it never fails, anything you do when you're preaching. You tell a really profound story and someone gets caught up on the wrong point, and they turn a really positive thing into a really negative thing. That's not my... Please catch my point when I tell you this story. So somebody that I know was telling me that about their dad. And this man, he's older generation, he grew up from a family where you don't say I love you. Because saying I love you was a sign of weakness. That was really the mentality. So there's no indication about when he last said it to his wife. There is no indication of how often he said it to his kids, if he ever said it to his kids. And this man lived a very long time. And when he got older, he actually ended up getting sick and had cancer. And on his deathbed, he was visited by a lady who was a born-again believer, told him all about Jesus, told him about the forgiveness and the love of Christ, and he gave his life to the Lord. And overwhelmed by the love of Jesus, he went from being a man who never said, I love you, to being a man who said, I love you, to absolutely everyone he could get his hands on. Imagine being his spouse in that moment. The first time he said, I love you, in what could have been the first time since they got married. And they had been married for decades. Imagine the first time he said, I love you. How overwhelming, how meaningful, how heavy that would have been. Imagine being his kids who has heard it for the first time. The weight of it, the meaning of it, the validation that would have come when he finally said it. The family was just so overwhelmed. It changed everything. It changed the whole direction of some of the kids' lives, because all of a sudden it's like, and it's not one of these scenarios where they ever question whether or not dad loved them. He loved his kids. There's no question about that. There's no No, he loved them. He just didn't say it. But it was amazing how it just flipped. As soon as he actually vocalized it and said, I love you, it changed everything for his kids. And that's the kind of weight that love needs to have. That's the kind of weight. And so my action point this week is super simple. Use love less. Use love less. Don't talk about football. Don't talk about the meaningless things. Keep love to the things that really deserve your love. Use love to describe your affection and your feeling and your connection, because love isn't just an emotion, love isn't just a feeling, love is an action, love is something that needs to be lived out, and we need to live it out to the people who actually are worthy and deserving of our love. So I love my spouse, I love my kids, I love the church. I love God. And anything outside of those four things, don't use it. That's really what it boils down to. And if you're, I like pizza. I appreciate a good game of football, especially when the Ravens stomp on the Steelers. I like, and if creativity is not your strong suit, most of us have smartphones, and these things have a thesaurus on them. If you need another word for love, look it up. And use this thing lots. I like, appreciate, enjoy. There's a lot of different words we could use to talk about the things that's really what it is. We just enjoy them. We have a positive feeling towards them, but we do not love these things. We love people and we love God. That's what we love. That's who we love. So let us use love less and only use it because I almost guarantee it that if you actually only use it on very sparingly, the times you do use it is going to be so much more valuable to the people that you're using it with. I guarantee it. You just throw it around, it means nothing. But if you treasure it, we're talking about an attribute of God. We're talking about God is love. And that word should just transform the hearts and minds of the people we say it to. I just put value back into this very deep, very meaningful word. Especially when we get into Scripture, we just see it everywhere. God loves people. We need to love people. Use love less. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to pray. Worship team, you can start getting ready. I just want to say this. If you're here or if you're online and you've never experienced the love of God, and I guarantee you, if you've never experienced it, when you hear God say, I love you, or you feel the love of God, it is the most affirming and most amazing thing you will ever experience in your life. And it's not just the first time, it's every time. And so if you don't know, if you've never prayed a prayer or you've never accepted the love of God in your life, I would love for you to come talk to me. I'd love to pray for you. And I'd love for you to experience that love firsthand today because I know that God wants it. John wants to pour it out on you this morning. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I am sorry for the ways that we have taken something like love and made it cheap, made it just the thing that we use all the time. God, I pray that we would be, as a church, we would set a new standard of what that word means and the value and the weight that it carries, that when we use it, it means something, God. That it would transform lives. It would because we are able to love because you loved us first. And I pray, God, that we love in that capacity, not in our capacity to love, but in your capacity to love through us. Father, give us the wisdom, give us the creativity to use the word love way less so that when we do use it, it is an affirming and it is a powerful word that we can speak into the lives of everyone that we come in contact with. God, we love you. We love you with everything that that word is. And we give our lives to you. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.